want to welcome back to town Jeff Miniweather, part of my family. We also want to mention Mr. Randy Monroe on stage, who was also a part of this group. And we want to thank God for one thing, for keeping us in his hand while we've all been apart from each other, and brought us back all together safe.
Put your hands together one more time for Dennis Springer and friends. Dennis Springer, Jeffrey Miniweather, Linda Harnbeckle, and Janice Scroggins.
All right, we're going to do one more tune. This is a composition from a tenor saxophonist that was around, playing around the same time Martin Luther King was, and that's John Coltrane, and he did a lot of spiritual stuff that I really enjoy listening to and playing as well. Here's a tune that I love to play. It's called Dear Lord.
First anniversary of tribute to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We're listening to Dennis Springer currently, and I have with me Mr. Joe Nunn, and he's the education chair of the African American Chamber of Commerce, and he's going to also be giving the scholarship to young Mr. Fleming.
That's right.
Momentarily, so we certainly want to welcome you to Cable's microphones.
Thank you,
Joe. In the context of what or why we here in terms of tribute to Dr. King and your experience with education, would Dr. King be pleased at where we are now in terms of education, or would he say we still have a ways to go?
Well, education is such a complete knowledge base that I have to break it down into parts, and I'd say when I see our young people together, they don't worry about some of the racism that maybe we did in the past. Sometimes we worry that they don't know the history. But I think overall we see people, and young people especially, of all colors coming together and getting things done. And a couple of the people we're going to honor with scholarships today through the African American Chamber are actually under 20 years old, and they've already started their own nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
So in that area, I would say that Dr. King would be very proud of our young people today, because, of course, those young people paid a special price to do the work of Dr. King, because he knew he couldn't ask their parents to protest and go to jail, because they needed to make money, and they had to make a decision that it had to be the young people and the high school students who had to make the sacrifices, and some of them went way beyond what was expected of them as young people and grew up very fast. I think in our educational system sometime, I was in Portland for 31 years, my father was 35, my mom 32, and my grandfather, who was the first African-American teacher in Portland, was Robert Ford, and he stayed 35 years at Roosevelt. And when you look at true, dedicated teachers, there is no timeline, there's no end to their day. They do whatever they need to do to inspire their students, and that's what I learned from my father and my grandfather. The most important thing is to learn how to motivate. And I think sometimes in our culture, we're too ready to be critical and down-talk people, rather than be able to praise them and tell them what they are good at and what they can be and that no one should put a limit on you. I think that's what I learned from Dr. King, is that no man should put a limit on you, and also you should realize that nobody does anything by themselves. And that's one of the great lessons I learned, that we have to come together as a group. Dr. King said that many, many years ago, and he also knew that from the readings of the Bible and what he had learned in his own experiences. And I see education trying to grow in Portland, but sometimes I'm going to be very honest with you, I don't think they listen to the community enough, and the community keeps trying to have a voice. The students at Jefferson keep trying to have a voice. I was one of those students once. My father taught those students once, and they need to be listened to.
Okay. Joe Nunn, the education chair of the African American Chamber of Commerce, thank you so much, and enjoy the festivities.
Thank you. I always enjoy your show. You do a very good job of interviewing people.
Thank
you. Voice.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, you're listening to KBOO 90.7, the 21st anniversary tribute to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and we're going to be going back out to the festivities in a moment. I think who's up next is... yes, Mr. Elijah Muhammad. Mr. Elijah Muhammad. So let's go to the stage and listen to what he has to say.
I got my first invite to speak at the Dr. King rally, showing you that the Muslims do respect Dr. King and the work that he has done for our communities throughout this nation. Most definitely. Now, our topic today, or the topic of the theme for this event, is civic engagement. I want to read a few points about what we need to do in this city to get our people together in a way that we can be respected and build a community worthy of God's name, worthy of God's protection, and worthy of God's guidance, most definitely. And then I want to talk about the two brothers in back of me, the work they are doing in this city for our people. Now, we are here again to celebrate a man that was a diamond among men. If we are to compare producing diamonds to Reverend King, then we will realize in depth why the scriptures say of Christ that though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Most definitely. Now, I am here as a Muslim and a helper of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It should come, beloved black people and others, as no surprise that in 1955, Mrs. Rosa Parks, may God bless her soul, refused to give up her seat. And in that same year, the 400 years of servitude of black people in this country ended. We can read that in the book of Genesis, chapter 15. Also, beloved, the life and times of Dr. King after 1955 should not be put into a capsule of, quote unquote, I have a dream, because he set an example of not a dream, but accomplishments. This year, 55, beloved, is the same year when Minister Louis Farrakhan became a student of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It is not a coincidence, beloved people, that the Reverend Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Al Sharpton, the National Baptist Convention, Congressional Black Caucus, and others joined Minister Farrakhan for the Millions More movement in D.C. that we had last year, which we initiated a movement that's starting in the across the entire country with what we call LOCs, Local Organizing Committees. And we would like to start one here as soon as possible with our Christian family, with our Hispanic family, with our Native American family, and others, most definitely. So the Honorable Louis Farrakhan reminded us at the historic 1995 Million Man March that Dr. King said, quote, undeserved suffering is redemptive. Now listen well, what is undeserved suffering? It is being rejected and shunned when you are right. It is being lied on because you don't absorb into a so-called norm of things in this society. It is being misunderstood. And we know that the Muslims today are not only mocked, but misunderstood because you do not want to talk to us. You are in such a mind frame that you thinking that a lot of us do not believe in Jesus or do not believe in God or do not believe in the Bible. But if you would study us and just give us some dialogue, you'll understand better what we are doing. Remember our theme. We're here for civic engagement, and it's real today in the Rose City. These two brothers behind me, they train what is called BMIT, Black Men in Training. They have brothers learning how to respect themselves, respect the black woman, and respect others. And I will interview these brothers Friday, 5 o'clock, Channel 11, along with our local minister, Mr. Yusuf Muhammad. I want people to watch that program because these brothers are training young men to do exactly what our sisters want to see them doing. We believe in the unity of humanity, most definitely. But we also believe that it's self first and then others. That should be the basis of anything that we're thinking about. Jesus said to his followers first to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and to not go to others first until you go to them. Well, that same pattern should be used by us. We should love humanity, but we should love our, if we cannot love ourselves first, then we are trying to do something that is a... It's really impossible, family, for us to try to love others without loving ourselves first. So think about this as we move forward with celebrating and loving our brother, Dr. King, because Dr. King is not a man to play with. He is not a dream. And when this man left this earth, what did he do? He challenged governments. He really spoke up in a strong opposition to the Vietnam War. If we look at that and look at the war going on today, and look at Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Look at Mr. Farrakhan. Look at others. Would they not speak up because of the norm of society or because of being shunned by this or that person or by the corporate controlled media? They would not. Prophet Muhammad, Jesus, all of them would be ones today that you would probably call a wide-eyed radical. Most definitely. They would be ones today that would challenge the Caesars and Pharaohs of the world. Are we doing that? Or have we absorbed ourselves into somebody else that really don't love us? We are here right now in the Rogue City, a community where the black man and woman needs to show that our unity and love is there. But are we showing that? Are we coming here and then leaving here knowing that we're going right back to a ghetto existence? What are we going to do about that? We have a church on every corner, and we have drugs and gangs, prostitution, and brothers, you know, I'm putting the wrong language into the young's mind about the black woman. We have that right in our streets. So will this event right here help us to deal with that? If so, then we're on the right track. If it won't, we have to go back to the drawing board, learn more wisdom and knowledge, and see why Dr. King is not a man to be trickled down to I Have a Dream. It's not a man, he's not a man that we just sing songs about. You know, if you are scared of standing up for your people today, and when I say your people, I mean the righteous. Black, white, red, yellow, or brown. If you are scared to stand up today for righteousness, even though you may be shunned, even though you may lose friendship, then do you think you're following Jesus, Muhammad, and all of them? I beg to differ with you. So look, again, our topic today is civic engagement. This brother William, this brother Corey, they train B-men. And these brothers B-men, whenever you see them, they see a black woman, they say, how you doing, queen? They speak to these sisters and they show respect that they do not learn in this so-called curriculum of the Portland Public Schools today. Now, me speaking my mind, how does that make you feel? You know, does it offend you? Well, I'm not scared of you. I fear none but Allah. And if I believe that what I'm saying is the truth, then I'm going to say it. Again, I thank my brother, Joe Bean. Joe Bean has known me since I was 16 years old, since I was a break dancer going to James Madison High School. I went to Harriet Tubman. I went to James Madison. I went to PCC for 2 years. So I've been here since I was 10 years old, coming from the Bay Area. And I am not the kind of brother to come in front of you knowing what I know, seeing what I see. And I always have black men in front of me as strong images, and black women, most definitely. So when I see that, and when I know what strength is in a black man and woman, I can't get up here and talk about I Have a Dream in a watered-down kind of way that won't allow you to get up and see that we're in a condition that we ourselves have to solve. We ourselves have to solve the condition that we are in today. Like it or not, the resources of money, the spiritual life, that's all among us today. At the Millions More Movement, you saw a cross-section of every kind of black life. From the church to the mosque to the synagogue, you saw the black farmers there. You saw black politicians there. And now, since that, movement. It is coming around throughout the entire country that we want to start local organizing committees. Again, 5 o'clock, Channel 11, this Friday. For an entire hour, I'm going to interview these brothers and our local minister about the work that we need to do with our Christian family, with our Hispanic family, and definitely with our Native American family. I thank you all for listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Dorothy Davis, who has inspired us for years as a singer and director at Portland's New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, is the Portland-Vancouver chapter representative of this chapter of the Gospel Music Workshop of America. It is part of a national organization that supports the continuing development of religious musical expression. This group is bound to bring the house down like it usually does. Without further ado, the Gospel Workshop of America. top of America, Dorothy Davis, director. Sunday Ladue is an outstanding eighth grade student at Ockley Green Middle School. She is representative of a wave of young people in Portland we expect to do great things locally, regionally, and nationally in the future. Ms. Ladue is originally from Sudan, and her idols are the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the late Rosa Parks. Please welcome Ms. Sunday Ladue.
Okay, you're currently listening to the 21st anniversary tribute to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I'm Shahid Hamid here along with Clemmy from Clemmy's Grooves, and we're waiting for the festivities, the transition here at the Jefferson High School, and we're on North Kirby Avenue here in Northeast Portland. So, we don't exactly know exactly what time we're going to just finish. We may be just a little late, but hopefully we're going to try to bring you as much of the festivities as we possibly can. Returning to the stage now, we have a young lady on stage. And Clemmy, how are you enjoying the festivities so far?
Well, that I've gotten a chance to see, I've enjoyed it very much. Just coming in, you know, off JLB and wanting to make it here and keep the dream alive.
Okay, well, let's go out to the stage and see if we can hear what's going on.
Dr. King inspires me so much because he is a person deep into faith, love, peace, hope, and a person with dignity that had a vision that this nation one day would rise up and live out its true meaning of its creed. Because we are one, and so why don't we have one love, one heart, and get together to celebrate our diversities. Since we are the world, and since we are the children, we are the ones that will create the future and make this world a peaceful place. But the only way to do this is to have one love, one heart, and get together. Is to be educated. Education is the number one priority in America today. We should not forget this man who had inspiring dreams for this world. We should always keep Martin Luther King Jr.'s dreams and spirit alive. But the only way to do this is to have one love, one heart, and get together to work in unity, to understand that we are all unique. We don't have the same personality, but we all have things in common, and we should work for peace. This is one of Bob Marley's songs. I believe if Martin Luther King Jr. were alive, he would agree with the song, because the song reflects what he stood for and his beliefs. Thank you very much, and peace be with all of you. Thank you.
Sunday Ladue. Dr. King fought for all children to have the opportunity to achieve academic success. Students need financial as well as moral support to achieve their academic goals. The firm of Bullivant, Hauser, and Bailey and the African American Chamber of Commerce have joined to provide some assistance to students. Here to make a special presentation are Joe Nunn, Education Chair for the African American Chamber of Commerce, and Doug Andres of Bullivant, Hauser, and Bailey.
Good evening. This is the second year that the African American Chamber of Commerce and Bovenhauser Bailey Law Firm have partnered together to jointly sponsor a scholarship program directed at minority youth from the Portland and Vancouver metropolitan area who are attending colleges of their choice. The scholarship emphasizes people who have been involved with community service and volunteerism and who are going to attend college for subject areas like business and pre-law. And the amount, this year we have three scholarships. The amount of each scholarship is $2,000 a year, conditioned on people performing at a certain grade point average. And pretty soon we're going to be looking at scholarships for next year. So if you want to put an application in for the fall term for a scholarship, or if you're interested in helping donate to fund these scholarships, you can get information from the website, AfricanAmericanChamberOfCommerce.com. The three students who are receiving scholarships this year are, the first one is Marnite Lewis, is being awarded a scholarship to pursue a course of study in business and psychology at Portland Community College. She's a 2005 graduate of Franklin High School. Marnette is a pretty amazing person in the short life she's had so far. This past year, she received the Mayor's Spirit of Portland Youth Volunteer of the Year Award, which recognizes her extensive involvement in the community and volunteering, including the Oregon Food Bank, Race for the Cure, African American Read-In, Alameda Neighborhood Community Association's Mayoral Forum, the Metropolitan Youth Symphony, and boy, there's about 20 other things here, time doesn't permit. Thank you. And I'll introduce now Joe Nunn to talk about the other two recipients.
Thank you very much. It's always nice to come back to the high school that I graduated from, and it's always nice to come back to the auditorium that is named after my grandfather. And thank you. So before I talk about the two award recipients, I know that my papa would be very happy with me to make sure I remind you of him. He was a young black man that came from Muskogee, Oklahoma. There's a lot of Oklahomans here in Portland. And he scraped and was able to put himself through college. It took him about 6 years. And in 1945 and 1944, Robert Ford came out to the West to build ships during World War II, like a lot of other African-American people all up and down the West Coast. And when Robert Ford got here, he was supposed to be the paymaster. And they said, you know, a black man can't be a paymaster here in Portland. You have to be a welder. Well, he decided that nobody was going to keep him down. So he applied to become a teacher in Portland Public Schools, and he made a plan. He sent in his two resumes of his two college degrees from Morgan State University, a black college in Baltimore, and he figured it rhymes with Oregon State University, so Papa decided he'd send his resume but forget to send his picture on purpose. So my grandfather, Robert Ford, became the first African-American teacher by mistake. That was a plan. And it's my great pleasure now to introduce the young people that we see have a plan for their life. These people that are up here today, they have already made some plans. We have young people that we're giving scholarships to who've already started nonprofits, who've already shown that they know how to give back, and they've been doing it for many, many years. One of them, in fact, cannot be here today because her nonprofit, she's working for today, and so she needs to be there. But we want to mention her name, and she's a student at University of Portland, and her name is Dominique Dupont, and she was awarded a scholarship in the School of Business Administration. She's also a graduate of Southridge High School, and she graduated with honors at 3.6. I also want to tell you one thing about Dominique, is that she may be living in Southridge in the Tualatin Beaverton area, but she also has started a nonprofit in Kenya, Africa. And I know that Marnie has also started her own nonprofit for right here in Portland. Our last recipient, I saved him for last because I think most of you here sound like you know him already. So our last recipient here is Lee Davis Fleming Jr. And today the African American Chamber of Commerce, with the great help of Bullivant Hauser and Bailey, who provided the funding to get this started. And I should say that Doug has donated his own money, his own hard-earned money as a lawyer, to these scholarships as well. I want you to know that. So let me talk about Lee for a moment. Lee's going to plan to study political science or sociology at Portland State or Oregon State University. He's going to be a 2005 graduate of Jefferson. He's the president of the Black Student Union. He's a student body representative to the core team. He's a mentor to the freshman class. We like that at the Chamber. And he's also is part of the Jefferson Ignite Mentor Program. I've come up here to see Lee in class, and I've talked to many of his teachers, and he's a very deserving student of this scholarship. He also graduated from the Oregon Association of Minority Entrepreneurs Youth Entrepreneurship Program. He worked with the Kids Foot Locker and Reserved Heroes Program. He was a keystone member at the Blazer Boys and Girls Club. He served with the Young Ambassadors Program, and he volunteered with the African American Health Coalition. So Lee will be going on to college, but he knows that part of the African American Chamber's service is that we gave you a scholarship to serve others. Now serve the community and come back and give to others. Thank you.
Let's give it up for these two young people.
And now, the Jefferson High School Gospel Choir, under the direction of Oni Irby.
Come on, get on your feet, get on your feet. We came here to let y'all know that we're real grateful for where we are. Uh-huh. Jeff's high, come on. Come on, come on. Big Mike, uh-huh. Jeff High, come on.
They could have made me.
Uh-huh.
Ain't no clothes, no shoes, ain't no food to eat. Yeah, 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 could have made me. Without your love, now tell me, where would I be? Yeah, 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 they could have made me.
Me in the cold wind. No house, no job.
Outside all alone.
Sitting trying to figure out
where we're wrong.
And can somebody help me?
Tell me what do I do?
Can't see my kids need
money for the rent.
Bills after bills, y'all.
Everything's
big. And the enemy is telling me
might as well quit.
The tears in my eyes crying.
Lord, please see me.
See, y'all, that's the reason.
I just can't thank you enough. No matter how hard I try, Jesus, I'll be alive.
It could have been me. Come on. Somebody help me.
Tell me what do I do?
Can't see my kids, need
money for the rent.
Bills after bills, y'all.
Everything's
big. The enemy is telling me
might as well quit.
The tears in my eyes crying.
Lord, please see me.
See if you need to complain.
My material things.
When you don't have to worry.
About whatever life brings.
But somebody hit tonight.
Don't know what they're gonna eat.
So I gotta be careful.
Cause it could've been me.
See, y'all, that's the reason.
I just can't thank
here.
Jesus, I realize that I've been me. Yeah.
Thankful for what God has brought to you. Can I see you get on your feet? Can you get on your feet and move with me? Come on, come on. Now we're going to double up. Say thank you.
Thank you.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
Say thank you.
I thank you.
Because it could have been me.
It could have been me.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Thank you.
Say thank you.
I thank you.
Because it could have been me.
It could have been me.
Didn't have to do it though. And I thank you.
Thank you.
To everyone.
Yes, we're here again at the 21st anniversary of tribute to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I'm Shaheed Hamid here along with Clemmie from Clemmie's Groove, Clementine Jones.
Clementine Jones.
Okay. We're having a real good time. And we have with us Mr. John L. Bell, and he is one of the producers here of this magnificent event. He's a former school board member. And John L., perhaps you could tell us, what is it that keeps you, I know you've been involved for about 6 years now, what is it that keeps you motivated to make a contribution in this area with Dr. King's tribute?
Well, first I want to thank Kay Booth for your long commitment right here on 90.7 FM for continuing to carry this message across Oregon in many locations. You're certainly an avid partner, and we, World Arts, on behalf of World Arts, I want to thank you. You know, that's certainly a good question. We start, Ken Berry and I, the executive producer, we start planning this in June, and every year we ask ourselves, are you ready for another year? And very often we both look at each other, and although we're extremely exhausted after such this endeavor, we're ready not only because the impact it really has on our community, but because we remember what Dr. King Dream has meant for us. We remember what Dr. King Dream has meant for this country. And we remember what Dr. King Dream has meant for this world. And because of that, we continue to plan this celebration. This is my seventh year having opportunity to work with such a wonderful team, and my fifth year having an opportunity to be one of the producers. So that is really why I continue every year.
Mm-hmm. To what extent do you think Dr. King's dream is has become a reality, and to what extent do you think we still have a ways to go?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think looking at our talent, looking at sort of the canvas of the folks who come to our event, I think that sort of resounds a huge portion of Dr. King's dream when we start speaking about unity, when we start speaking about brotherhood. But, you know, Dr. King would say that there is certainly a lot of work to still be done. And I think part of what we did, I mean, this year, if you look at our theme this year, it's our personal responsibility for civic engagement. I think Dr. King would be disappointed with voter turnout that he had fought so hard for and that so much blood was shed for. I think he would be disappointed that our young people are disengaged in so many respects, and I think he would certainly be disappointed at our educational structure when you look at it today. So there certainly is a lot of work to be done. I think this is an opportunity to sort of reflect on that, mm-hmm. but also be energized to continue to do that great work all throughout the year.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much. We're going to go back to some of your colleagues right now. We have Sharon Mitchell and Donnie Adair up on the podium, and we certainly want to thank you for coming by the microphones of KBOO.
Continue
the good work.
Thank you.
Serena Hill, Jamal Alford, Tony Flintroy, John Miles, the Kappas, Portland Symphonic Choir, the No Kidding Choir, where kids are winners, and the Volunteers of America. Let's give them all a great big round of applause.
And we would also like to thank you for coming out, for celebrating with us the life and times of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., to keep living the dream. This is the 21st year, and we are so, so very glad that you came out here to celebrate with us.
I'd like to thank Sharon Mitchell.
Yeah.
I love to get together with her every year and host this program. I also want to thank John L. Bell for being an MC as well. And right now, we would like to bring to you, for our final musical presentation, a group that is made up of people from various churches. The keyboardist in the background for them will be Bobby Garnett. The director is Darlene Warren. Please welcome Genesis.
I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Oh, to walk in Jerusalem.
To walk in Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. All my God's angels.
celebration, please welcome the president of the World Arts Foundation Incorporated, Mr. Michael Chappie Grice.
I want to thank all of our sponsors, every single one of them. I want to thank all of you for being here today, all day with us, from early this morning till late this evening, all in a tribute to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I'd like to open the curtains and have our cast, that is our production team. These are the people that made it all possible to come out here. You give them a big hand. I'd like to have them take a bow. Martin Luther King said, "We cannot walk alone. And as we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall march ahead. We cannot turn back." We thank you. We love you. And I think there is a special presentation that one of our young directors, the future of this program, one of our producers, our executive producer, Mr. Ken Berry, but he has a whole host of producers. Let's step forward and give Mr. Ken Berry a hand, our executive producer. And I go right down the line. There's Joe Bean Keller, Miguel, Mr. Brooks, Laverne, thank you. Stan Scott with security, Barbara O'Hare with our Lifetime Achievement Award. Step forward, Ace Helzer. I didn't skip over you, Donnie. I'm saving you. It's the best for last. Judy Taylor, Dee Simmons, Reverend Renee Ward, and I'd like our MCs to step forward together. Sharon Mitchell and Donnie Adair and the young John L. Bell. Thank you. Take a bow. Let's get the hands together. And thank you very much. John L., wait a minute. We got one announcement. Oh, JJ, step forward a minute. J.J. Johnson has been with us from the beginning of the program.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you all for being here until the last minute. Round of applause for you there. You know, this is the closest we have come to our time here, so we're pretty impressed with that. I do have two very special awards here. Our production team would not be able to pull this off every year without two incredibly talented and gifted gentlemen behind me. The first I would like to thank and have step forward, Mr. Ken Berry. Ladies and gentlemen, the award reads like this: Keep Living the Dream. Thank you, Ken Berry, for your energy, caring, and commitment over 21 years to honor the legacy and vision of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Keep Alive the Dream, Monday, January 16th, 2006. Jefferson High School, Robert G. Ford Memorial Theater here in Portland, Oregon. Mr. Barrett.
Thank you.
And of course, Mr. Grice didn't know this, but we have one more for him, too. Mr. Chappie Grice, the director, it also reads, for your partnership, caring, and commitment to honor the legacy and vision of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Please, ladies and gentlemen, give these two gentlemen a warm applause for all their hard work and dedication.
Thank you.
I got a final word real quick.
And House of Emotion just joined us.
The House of Emotion, raise your hands, House of Emotion, thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we do this as a love for labor. And as we say many times, we do not stand on our own shoulders. We stand on the shoulders of those who are among us. And Joe Bean?
I just want to say there's two important people today that was really working with us. They were the people that were behind the scenes, behind the curtains, making sure that the curtains open and close on time. Russell, where you at, Russell? I need you up here, Russell. Russell and DeMarcus.
The unsung heroes.
The unsung heroes. But Russell and DeMarcus right there for taking the time out, been with us all day long. And we want to thank all of our exhibitors downstairs, all the participants. We want to thank Reba, our photographer, as well as the rest of the photographers in the house. And we most of all want to thank you, the audience, for being supportive for 21 years and more to come. Thank you very much.
Our words are sponsored, TV Services. Our sponsors, of course, they're listed in the program, but a special thanks to Portland Public Schools and Television Services, Lenny Edwards, and he has a team of young people that did all the camera work that you saw on your television today. And the list goes on and on, but in the words of Martin Luther King, we must not turn back now. Have a good evening. drive safely. God bless you, and thank you very much. Peace.
Okay, the words of Chappie Grace, and one of the major producers of the 21st anniversary tribute to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Keep Alive the Dream, being held here at Jefferson High School. And we certainly want to thank all of the KVU folk who have been down here making this broadcast happen.
I know, that's right.
I want to thank Clementine Jones, my co-host.
Lisa.
And, of course, our news director, Lisa Loving, for her fine job. And, of course, all of the staffs. Yes, absolutely. All of the fine staff that has came down and contributed their time and their services to making this broadcast happen. Next on KBOO, J.J. Johnson hosts Jay's Place, and he's going to do a special on MLK, and it's a tribute to Martin Luther King Jr. So for us here at Jefferson High School, we want to say thank you for tuning in, and stay tuned for Jay's Place, coming right up on KBOO 90.7 FM.